Welcome to Design for Living Big Book OA meeting. My name is Kevin. I am a compulsive eater and your meeting leader today. To open the meeting, let us have a moment of quiet meditation followed by the set aside prayer. God, please set aside everything I think I know about myself, my recovery, my spiritual path, and you for an open mind and a new experience with myself, my recovery, my spiritual path, and especially you. We start this meeting by remembering our common purpose, to extend the heart and hand of the OA Fellowship to those who still suffer. Let us be mindful of OA's unity with diversity policy, which respects our differences, yet unites us in the solution to our common problem. Whatever problem you may have with food, you are welcome at this meeting. Our topic today is Principle 4, Courage. We'll read a section of the Big Book, hear from our speakers, and move into an informal guided discussion. The guided discussion is a space for any questions you have on what you heard here today or about Overeaters Anonymous. And Melissa, could you please unmute and read the paragraph on page 12, beginning with, "We pocket our pride."
We pocket our pride and go to it, illuminating every twist of character, every dark cranny of the past. Once we have taken this step, withholding nothing, we are delighted. We can look the world in the eye. We can be alone at perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. The feeling that the drink problem has disappeared will often come strongly. We feel we are on the broad highway, walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe.
Thank you, Melissa. I will now like to introduce our first speaker, Judy, to the group. Welcome.
Hi, I'm Judy. I'm from California, from Sacramento. And I have been in program for almost 30 years. It'll be 30 years later this month. I'm down about 110 pounds from where I was in 1996. And it was interesting. When I started looking at the word integrity, I've always considered integrity to be important in my life, and always figured I was honest and I was trustworthy and all this kind of stuff. And I've been through the steps a number of times. But then when I started looking more at it, I actually Googled the word integrity, and I found a lot of resources. There were the root of integrity is Latin word integritas, meaning wholeness. And everything I read was all about aligning myself with my moral principles, being honest, acting in alignment with those values, regardless of whether anyone is watching, blah, blah, blah. And it was interesting. I found associations that are devoted to integrity. I found a university article about one of the key elements of happiness is integrity. And so there was a lot out there which justified my doing this. And as I dug into this even more, I'd never really used the word integrity when I did the fifth step, but I came back to looking at some of my fifth step issues over the years, and there was a lot there. The things I found were the key aspects of a person with integrity: doing the right thing, choosing ethical behavior, even when it's difficult, inconvenient, or when no one will ever know. And sometimes that arose. I was serving on a board a number of years ago, and there was something that was happening thanks to a very strong person in the meeting, and somebody needed to step in and nobody wanted to. And it was interesting because I thought, wait a minute, do I have to be, I don't want to be the one. I don't want to be the one out front. I don't want to be the one that's going to be unpopular or get somebody coming down on me. And I finally said, no, we can't do it the way you want. We need to do something else. And I had a proposal. And what happened was I had everybody behind me. And I ended up that, and it gave them apparently a lot of trust in me and in my integrity. And I thought, okay, this is the way it's supposed to be. This is just really, it was just really interesting. Because I've always, one of the things I've always said about some of the other principles is like, faith is not jumping from point A to point B. Faith is jumping from point A, which to me says that I need to just do what I think is right. And trust that my HP will it'll all work out. And usually I find that it does. And so I mean it's a lot about honesty, it's a lot about truthfulness, accountability, ethics. I'm retired now. When I was working, I was a lawyer, and one of the groups that I was involved in my town here was an invitation only group of lawyers, judges at all levels, and students, law students. And it was based on ethics, professionalism, and responsibility. No, civility. Shows you how long it's been since I was doing that. But I really appreciated the fact that lawyers have this reputation of being uncivil or rude or, trying to find ways around things. But this was a group of people who were focused on civility, and that just worked for me, and it felt really good. And then I got to the point where I retired, wasn't doing law anymore, and I'm like, okay, I don't need to be doing this. But it was really important to me at the time. When I worked for the state as a lawyer, and I found when I some of the other things I was noticing, I've taken a couple of notes. What integrity looks like in action, admitting to a mistake. And one of the things that I really focused on with my staff was that if they would let me know when they got in trouble for whatever, if they had a mistake or something, that let me know and let's see if we can work it out. Because it's much easier to fix things if we know what's happening and we can stay ahead of it. And that always worked, except when people didn't want to tell me about it. But I don't know, that's kind of a weird one. But it's keeping promises, honoring commitments. Even when it's inconvenient, standing up for your beliefs, even when it's unpopular. People with integrity are considered reliable and trustworthy because their behavior is predictable based on their commitment to doing what is right. I also found in when I do my morning meditations, I have a meditation app, and they have a lot of talks by people, and you can search for different topics. So I searched for integrity in there, and what I found was much of what I've shared thus far. But there were several talks on integrity, which was really helpful for me. And I own my own character defects and accept those of my fellows without judgment, which I thought was really good. But when I go back to the amends that I've made over the years, a couple of them stand out in my head. One of the ones when I went back when I was married, when we were moving from a rental house into our own house, one that we had bought, my husband thought it would be great if we just took this little table that was in the rental property. And I'm like, no. Well, he talks me into it, and it never felt right. And so later, when I was in program, because this was before program. When I was in program, I'm looking at that going, I need to make amends for that. And I did. I did a letter to the landlord and said, we did this. I did it. I'm part of the person who did it. And the thing that I realized later is that, and then also when I was after my divorce, my sponsor wanted me to make amends, wanted me to do some amends or think about amends to my ex. And I couldn't think of anything. He's the one that left, so it's not my fault. But when I looked at it deeper and deeper, my amends ended up being fairly simple. I was trying to be something other than what I was, and I expected him to be something other than what he was. And I find that this has also affected my a couple of other relationships when I expect like a very difficult sister to be something that I think she ought to be. And she's not. I mean, it's she gets to be who she is, just like I get to be who I am. And so it's all an alignment kind of thing. Authenticity. People talk about being authentic and being in alignment there. And I just don't know how I could have to be out of alignment when I'm in alignment with my goals and stuff. And what I find in program is that I'm closer to the person that I feel like I'm comfortable with. And when I have that comfort, life seems to be a lot easier, and I just can stay. I mean, I still have my issues, thank you very much. But I'm doing a lot of I'm sorry about that. God, Harper. Anyway, so this is kind of where I am. I remember when I was training witnesses one day for some hearings that we were doing. I did a lot of mental health hearings. And I was training some witnesses, and I found a quote from Mark Twain, which was, if you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything. And I've always loved that because that's what we want witnesses to be talking about. We don't want them making up stories, trying to cover their own butts or cover anybody else's butts. We want witnesses who are going to tell the truth and stick with that. And then, of course, the true, the one that is like the biggest one in my brain is to thine own self be true. And I find that when I am true to who I am and who I want to be, I'm in much better shape, and things can go forward as they need to. Anyway, but the whole integrity thing, I think, is the core, one of the cores of core principles, at least for me. And I know when I have done service, it's if your leaders exhibit service, if your leaders are exhibiting integrity, there's a lot more trust in the direction of whatever organization you're part of. There was even an I found a website about spiritual integrity, and it's like, and many of that's of the principles behind that are the same things. They talk about and actually a lot of the essentials that they saw were kind of parody or parroting either way of our some of our key principles in 12 steps. Accountability, which is your fifth step. Ongoing personal growth, which kind of goes throughout our whole 12 steps. Self-care, which is taking care of yourself mentally and physically. Personal practice, so am I doing that personally? And the support of others, peer support. And I think those are some of the key things that we deal with. Anyway, That's kind of where I go on this. I'm not sure what else I can say. I can give you chapter and verse about how I've been in program for 30 years and I've lost 110 pounds and still going on and on. I guess I'm in here for life. I can't imagine any other way of living. And so I just kind of stay with it as much as I can. So that's all. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you, Judy. And now I'd like to welcome our second speaker, Linda C. Take it away.
Thanks, Kevin. Hi, my name's Linda, and I'm a compulsive binge eater and very, very grateful to be here and to be asked to be a speaker. Now, thank you, Judy, for saying half the stuff that I'd written down as well, which was fantastic because, that's what I love about like topics. I get to do a bit of research on it and really dig a little bit deeper rather than just read the word. And something that really sort of hit me was aligning actions with values, often described as practicing what we preach and maintaining a sense of wholeness and consistency with character. And when I wrote down the word practice what I preach, I thought, oh, I don't know about writing that down, saying that. But I would have values and behaviors to other people. But behind closed doors, those values were diminishing. I've got my core values, but I always say that my rock bottoms were always, well, they are, is when the unacceptable becomes acceptable. And I didn't want to live the way I was living. I went first, did the steps in another program, and I really put 100% effort into that. But the freedom has only come since I've been in OA. And when I first did the steps, and everyone would say, and particularly when you even read this paragraph that was read, is that we feel we are on the broad highway walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe. People used to say, when we get to step three, you'll feel elated. I didn't feel elated. I thought I'm getting ripped off. And then when they said, well, it might come at step five, did step five, nothing sort of happened. So I thought. And I thought, I'm just one of these people that are constitutionally can't be honest. And I never felt that way because my honesty, I always upheld myself for being honest. I always worked in finance. I did a lot of community, was involved in a lot of community groups, all as a treasurer. So I saw honesty with money, but I didn't see honesty with other things. And when it came to food, I have been dishonest with food and in other people, like in relation to food, since I was a little child. I would be putting things in my pocket. I would steal food all the time to try and fill the need that was missing within. So that was a huge, huge thing to swallow when I really identified that. And even though I didn't steal food when I was older, I definitely ate more than the rest of the family, and particularly when hard financial times. And I remember crying in the cupboard as I'm eating, is that we cannot just we I cannot we can't afford to met for me to be eating the stuff that should be for the family. But I didn't it I just didn't have any choice. I had to do that eating to fill this hole, and it never really got filled. So when I did my step five, and also even now when I do step fives, I have to get a point. And for me, I do enjoy doing the steps on a very regular basis from step one, because things change, and I change, my circumstances changed. You know, originally when I first did the steps, I had younger children, working full time, lot of kids' commitments. You know, now I'm semi-retired. So there is, from then to now, there's a lot of different, I'm living a different life. So I've had to do the steps in a different manner, and different things come up. And doing that step four, like I can't do an honest step four unless I've had a deep step one and then become willing to trust this power. These days, I trust God impeccably. Like it is my moment by moment where I may pause and just connect with God. But I feel, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of times when I'm running the show, but I soon feel that uncomfortability, and I will pause and ask God back in, and you know, be his humble servant. So, but I might have to do that 100 times a day, you know. But it's enabled me to do even more step fours at depth. But the important thing is not to just do my inventory, but to ch share it with another person. Now, I generally share my inventory with my sponsor, but if she's not available or something happens, or even if I've shared it with her or I've shared it with somebody else, I will share it with her as well, because I want to be really clear about my fears and my character defects. Often I need someone to tell me or point me in the direction, because I can be still in that delusion that I'm okay. I've seen my faults. I've seen this. I know. I know. I don't know anything. And that's where I really need to continue to go back to. It's not putting negativity on myself. It's about bringing myself back to basics, because I want that sense of wholeness. I don't want to be held back by these character defects that will come up. You know, I'm not perfect. No one is. Even if I always say that even if I was a monk and I was you know, praying most of my day, is that I would still have my negativity. Well, not so much negativity, but I would be trying. My biggest thing is trying to fight the system. I don't know what system I'm fighting, but I'm fighting what I think is a injustice. So I need to be continually in this program and continually looking at my integrity. How do I want to live? And that's That's probably what even brought me in to OA, because I was brought into OA with an eating diagnosed eating disorder, but it was something that I did not didn't accept. And I was told by a specialist is because I was very underweight at the time. If I didn't address my chronic anxiety, because I was brought up in the days where in 12-step programs, if you took in, and I know it's an old idea, but it was around at that time, is if you took medication, you couldn't truly get this program and have the spiritual recovery if you took medication. I've since seen and 100% believe that's incorrect, but at that time that's what I believe. And he said, fine, if you don't take the medication, you will go crazy, like you're just never going to recover from this, and it's going to get a lot worse. And he said that I had an eating disorder because all my bloods were dangerously low. And I said, I think I have that in told the specialist that I had all that under control. And he said, clearly no, and you are literally killing yourself. You are dying from the inside. And this was in the July, and I did not do anything about coming into OA until the October, because I thought I could still control things. And now I look upon that as such delusional thinking, but at the time, I thought I was completely justified. And so therefore, that was a huge delusion. I don't even know where I was going with that, but I think it's just that often I don't even know how I want to live. And it's shown to me throughout the years. And with continuing to do the steps, continuing to do, I am a member of AD4L. I didn't say, but I'm from Sydney in Australia. But I love going through the big book because something will land with me that I may, for some reason, I've read the book, I don't know how many times, but a paragraph will hit me in a different manner, or some words will hit me in a different manner. And for me, that's growth. So I've been in OA for 4.5 years, and I didn't believe that I could experience freedom over my compulsive eating, over food, because I've compulsively eaten lettuce, carrots, water. I'm a compulsive person, and I can't ban those things from my household, particularly the water. I need water, but I do have a program of recovery. I have a food plan. Unfortunately, I'm on a lot of medication, which has played a lot of havoc on my body. And a lot of my medical problems have been stemmed from the compulsive eating and the way I destroyed my body in because I've been addicted to exercise over the years. I've been a not only a binge eater, but a a huge restrictor. And, you know, I've sort of had to come to accept and accept that I do have this disease, and that disease requires me to live a different life than what I think the normal, I have no idea what normal is, but what the normal people live is that, one, I overreact too much. I'm sensitive. So I get disturbed very, very quickly. So even though I could say to myself, which I often do, is that I'm sick of doing inventory. I'm sick of doing step 12s, step 10s. I'm sick of this, I'm sick of that. That is my medicine. I need to be taking it. I need to be doing it on a daily basis. If things crop up, I need to address them. Because if I'm holding resentments, they will destroy me, absolutely destroy me. And they'll destroy me from the inside out. But inevitably, my behavior will be a product of that stuff. So, you know, I want to live an honest, ethical life that I can continue to live and be part of. It's Mother's Day. I'm not sure in anywhere else there it's Mother's Day, but today it's Mother's Day. Oh yeah, there he is, in Australia. And, you know, I'll be going to my mum's house and all my family will be there. There'll be plenty of food, a lot of food actually. And in the beginning when I was in the program is that I'd go to the functions, obviously, but it was like the poor me. I can't have this. I can't have that. And I would be quite angry about it and sitting in a lot of self-pity. But today, because I've got this freedom, is that I can go there and I don't feel anything. I take my own food. Everyone's accustomed to me taking my own food, and I can enjoy the company and just be part of, rather than feeling isolated. Because even when I was compulsive eating and eating what everyone else was eating, I still felt isolated because I felt this urge. I wanted more and I couldn't eat more because I would be worried what people would think. So, you know, this is what this program has given me. And if it's worked for me, for someone who'd been a compulsive eater since the age of 5, I came in here into OA at 53 and I'm free. But I am 100% clear that I only get a daily reprieve on this stuff. I have to be contingent on keeping that connection with God, keeping with my food plan, and just doing the program on a daily basis. And I'm hoping that I'll never stop wanting to do the steps to discover more and more and more. I do sponsor a lot of people. It's probably my other addiction. I don't know if it's a bad addiction, but it is an addiction, I think. But it's I want to spread the message. I want everybody that asks me is to get the freedom. So I'll keep coming back. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you, Judy, for sharing your experience, strength, and hope with us today. According to our seventh tradition, we are fully self-supporting through our own contributions. As we have now moved to virtual meetings, it is important that we continue to be fully self-supporting. This allows Overeaters Anonymous to continue to carry the message to those who still suffer. You'll be able to send your donations through our website at www.ad4l.info. For those of you able to see the Zoom chat, the link will also be posted there. Thank you all for coming, for your support. It is appreciated. And our next meeting, as a reminder, Design for Living, Big Book OA, is a daily meeting. We are based out of Melbourne, Australia. The recording from today's workshop will be available on our website. We can also find out about other upcoming events and speakers and such. Visit our website again at www.ad4l.info. Our new monthly speaker series focusing on the principles of the 12 steps will be held on June 14th. And the topic will be Principle 6, Willingness. And we hope to see you there. And so in closing, I would like to thank you all for your service in coming here today. By following the 12 steps, attending meetings regularly, and using the OA tools, we are changing our lives. You will find hope and encouragement in Overeaters Anonymous. To the newcomer, we suggest attending at least 6 different meetings to learn the many ways OA can help you. The opinions expressed here today are those of individual members and do not represent OA as a whole. Please remember our commitment to honor each other's anonymity. What you hear here, whom you see here, when you leave here, let it stay here. Let us all reach out by phone or email to newcomers, returning members, and to each other. Together, we get better. And to close the meeting, will Lydia please unmute and read the promises?
If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past, nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? We think not. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them.